All right, wake up, wake up. It's Friday, 49er Friday. Niners going to Cleveland later today. We got a lot to get to. Let's go.
All right, Friday, November 28th. It's a day after Thanksgiving. Hope it was great for you and yours, friends and family. Nobody too hungover or, you know, that much more overweight this morning. Hopefully everybody made it through. Larry, you can tell there's a little Friday abnormality to this show alone. You're not at Levi's Stadium right now. So when are the 49ers taking off? Obviously, their times with their family over Thanksgiving was a little disruptive. It was a short week because of Monday Night Football. All sorts of weird things going into this game in Cleveland, don't you think?
Yeah, well, you know, the Niners will practice today. Shanahan will address the media today, and then later today they will get on an airplane and fly to Cleveland, where I'll share the screen. This is what we expect to see on Sunday. 39 degrees, windy, rain showers in the morning. Will change over to snow showers in the afternoon. High of 39 degrees, winds out of the southwest, 25 to 35 miles an hour, chance of precipitation about 60%. Higher wind gusts are potentially possible. 59% chance of rain to be exact, and they're saying winds out of the southwest probably roughly 25 miles an hour. So there you go. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a winter mix.
It's going to be awful. It's going to be the kind of weather that makes you worry about Brock Purdy before turf toe, before anything went wrong, right? This is the kind of weather that Brock has historically not played very well in. That wet ball and him are not very good friends. Which fan base do you think, Larry, believes in their quarterback more to get it done this weekend? The 49ers rooting for Brock Purdy or the Cleveland Browns rooting for Shador Sanders?
Yeah, I would say maybe none of the above, but I mean, it looks like a reasonable game on paper, right? Niners are 8-4. They're 5-0 this year against losing teams. The Browns are 3-8. They are a losing team, but then you look a little closer and you're like, Niners haven't won in Cleveland since 84. It's only a span of four games, but still they haven't won there since 1984. Jim Schwartz is like 8-1 against the Niners in three games. Against Shanahan's Niners, Schwartz's defenses have limited the Niners to 15.7 points per game, 290 total yards per game, and 4.6 yards per play. So, Brock Purdy, by the way, in rain or snow, has a career 49.1 quarterback rating or QBR.
Not great. So
that's not good. It's not good. Browns, of course, are sticking with Shador Sanders after he, you know, helped them last week. It was his first start. They got a win against the Raiders, and he had the second lowest completion percentage, 50%. But he did get, you know, a nice little dump off to Dylan Sampson for a big gainer. He got a big 50-yard pass play down the field for his big moment. And he's got Myles Garrett on his side. And Myles Garrett's got 14 sacks in the past five games alone. It's the most sacks by any player in a five-game stretch since 1982 when sacks became the official stat. So it's basically nobody's ever had 14 sacks in five games until Myles Garrett did it just the last five games.
It's a heater. There's just no doubt about it. Myles Garrett is officially coming, and he is wrecking shop, not just like on the Niners. He's wrecking shop on the entire NFL right now. So getting the ball out. Getting the ball out as fast as humanly possible is job one, and Kyle's going to do that. I think you're going to see just tons of underneath everything. And look, that actually might play into what the 49ers need to do just based on the weather and need to do based on the fact that they got the worst group of wide receivers in the NFL. They really do. So keep it underneath, keep it super simple, and they're going to have to, once again, stop me if you've heard this before, Larry, rely on Christian McCaffrey to touch the ball 30 to 40 times to get them through another football game. It's amazing. You know, I was looking at a Josh Dubose stat this week, and you could say, well, you know, in two of these numbers that I'm about to give you, he's basically throwing to a future Hall of Famer. When targeting tight ends, Josh Dubow says, when targeting tight ends, Brock Purdy's passer rating is 141.1. Now, you know, Tongis and Farrell have been involved, but that's George Kittle. When targeting running backs, his passer rating is 102.5. Now, that's basically all Christian McCaffrey. When targeting wide receivers, Brock Purdy's passer rating is 46.9.
He doesn't have any wide receivers.
He doesn't have any wide receivers. These guys suck. I'm sorry. You know, Juwan Jennings is a tough guy. I'm glad he's not being suspended. I'm glad that they upheld the suspended again. It should have been two games, one for each ball that got punched. But it's embarrassing how exposed this year has become at wide receiver between Ricky Pearsall's inability to get back into the mix since disappearing with an injury, the Brandon Ayuk situation. Kendrick Bourne shows up, plays great, then instantly vanishes. I mean, vanishes. He had one really good game and then has not been heard from since. Demarcus Robinson is a rumor, apparently. I heard he's on the team. I'm not sure I believe anyone at this point. It's embarrassing. It's honestly embarrassing how bad the 49ers are at wide receiver. They've got a rookie that they drafted to play on this team who they can't even get out there, even though they don't have anybody in front of them.
Well, I'll tell you, too. I mean, you know, you mentioned the McCaffrey thing, lean on McCaffrey. But the Browns defense allows the second fewest fantasy points to running backs and leads the league in run stop win rate at 36.2%. So this is going to be a huge challenge for McCaffrey. He's only averaging 3.7 a carry this year. He's done most of his damage as a receiver. He's averaging almost 7 receptions and over 65 receiving yards per game. So maybe they can utilize him as a receiver, because you're right, they don't have any receivers. I mean, Juwan Jennings is tough, but he's slow. And then I think that Juwan Jennings probably got pissed when Bourne started getting so much love, because all of a sudden it was like, Bourne was totally shut down and they're not looking at him anymore. They're not throwing to him anymore. And it's all Jennings. So I just think that Jennings was going to be borderline hostile to any wide receiver in that room who's going to take, touches and catches away from him, because he's got this big incentive thing and he's all wrapped up in his contract and what he's going to make for himself. And so I think that's what he's about right now. I mean, he totally didn't want Bourne to get all that shine. And as soon as JJ came back, I mean, you could tell. And then as soon as Brock came back, he's like, my guy's back. Why is Mac Jones not your guy as well? Well, because Mac Jones was throwing it to Kendrick Bourne, because Kendrick Bourne's his guy. Right. And then as soon as Brock came back, oh, my guy. So Jennings is slow and has a huge ego. Demarcus Robinson is slow and hasn't done anything. Kendrick Bourne is slow. The only guys who can run are Sky Moore, Watkins, and Pearsall. And Pearsall can't do anything. And the other two guys aren't given an opportunity. So yeah, they got a pretty shitty wide receiver core right now, and it's because they don't want to use their speed, and they've got this weirdo thing going on with Jennings and his contract. That's what's going on. Jennings is a powerful presence. Jennings is giving people the stare down if he doesn't get the ball. Jennings is about himself and his stats at this point.
Well, again, this team's instincts, who to pay, who to play, who to keep around, when to move on, when to walk away from, their instincts as a front office are galactically unimpressive. Right?
Well, I mean, you know, here's the bottom line. You can have a linebacking core of all undersized guys who can run. You can have a D line of all pass rushers or all run stuffers, and you could be okay. You could have an O line full of 5 road graders who don't move all that great, and you could be all right. But wide receiver, you have to have complementary players. They have to complement one another. You can't have 5 guys who run 4-3 with no ball skills, or you're never going to have any drives sustained. You can't have, you know, a bunch of Juwan Jennings guys who can't run at a lick and are running everything. Everything's a 5 to 7 yard pattern because guess what? Defenses won't honor your deep ball and you have no room to operate underneath. So you have to have complementary guys. You got to have some guy who can make the tough catches to keep you on the field, some guy who can stretch the field and create some space. You have to have complementary players, and they don't. DeMarcus Robinson is Juwan Jennings, is Kendrick Bourne, and the other guys don't even play. So they've got three of the same receivers. They're all relatively slow and unexplosive, and they're just being defended. If you watch the All-22, and if you don't, I get why you would not understand this, but if you do watch the All-22, you're seeing what I'm seeing, which is they're just bracketed inside of a 12-yard box, and they're just being strangled to death. So there is no room for these wide receivers. And then Brock Purdy's like, oh, Brock Purdy sucks. Brock Purdy sucks. Does he, or do his wide receivers get absolutely zero fucking separation every single game? And he's just throwing 50-50 balls all the time because nobody can get more than a foot away from anybody because they're so freaking slow.
And having said all that, until we have 2 8-win teams kicking off tonight, there is only one team in the NFC with one more win than the San Francisco 49ers. For all of their faults, for all of their warts, for all of their, well, that doesn't really compliment anything, does it? Elements of their team, they're 8-4. I mean, they're 8-4.
That's what an easy schedule does for you.
Yeah, yeah, and that schedule was going to be their best friend, and it has been. And it is, beyond Mac Jones, the only reason why they are where they are at this point in their season. The schedule and Mac Jones have been their two best friends. You can give the schedule to Len Eschmont if you want, Larry. Like, you can, has the schedule ever been named Niner of the Year, Len Eschmont Award winner? I think it's a possibility because it's what's gotten them to this point. But now the schedule is going to betray them a little bit. Again, this Browns game feels like there's more to it than it did when the schedule came out because of the conditions going into this game and the heater that Myles Garrett is on. Plus, Schwartz is just really good against Kyle's offense. Has been for a very, very long time. So you got that going on. Then all of a sudden, what happens between the Bears and Eagles is going to go into the mix of what the Chicago game is going to feel like. You got the Colts game coming up, and then a Seahawks game, which could be the single biggest one game, this game matters, game of the year in the NFL, or it could mean absolutely nothing. We'll have to find out when we get there. But
Niners are 5-0 this year against teams with losing records, and they're 3-4 against teams that don't have losing records.
Well, you're going to need to beat a team with a losing record right here this week if you want to get past the Cleveland Shadours. And that, I think, is the one thing that unlocks this. To I think the Niners are going to win this game. I just think that Shadour Sanders is going to be someone that Robert Saleh, even with his diminished defense, is able to toy with a little bit, just in terms of confusion, giving him eye candy defensively, when to drop guys off, when that blitz is actually coming, mixed coverages. I think that Saleh goes a long way to winning this game if the 49ers come out with a W today, or not today, but Sunday.
You know, the Niners are good on the road. They're 5-2 on the road. So that's good. They're only 3-2 at home, but they're 5-2 on the road. So yeah, no, I agree with you. I think the 49ers are going to get this win. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be sloppy. It's not going to be some, you know, masterpiece or some picturesque thing. It's going to be ugly, but I do think they'll get the win just because I think the Browns earned that record, right? They earned that record. They're 3-8 for a reason. And Sanders stinks and all this stuff. Sanders, the only reason that everybody doesn't know that Sanders stinks is because ESPN has been absolutely, you know, sucking up to him for months. I mean, Mel Kiper compared him to Joe freaking Montana. Mel, retire, retire.
You know, here's the deal. I don't know what he is. And honestly, you don't either, and no one does. We don't know. He is.
No, I know what he is. I know what his skill set is right now. His skill set is he's not mobile. He doesn't make good decisions. He's been made all kinds of he's got a decent arm, but his completion percentage in college is a contrived, a completion percentage where he just dumped it off underneath. He doesn't have big time mobility. He doesn't have an awesome arm. He's got an okay arm. I think he's one of the most overrated quarterbacks. I mean, ESPN was talking. They're talking about him like they called him Joe Montana.
Well, look, I don't think that his reputation coming out of college is that much far fetched or different than what Brock Purdy's was. You know, there's a lot of reason to look at it and doubt it and say, nah, 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 nah. But look, the kid's dad is Deion Sanders. He does have some element of Hall of Fame competitor as his dad that is, he has obviously gotten him to where here's the thing, we haven't seen enough. He's hardly practiced with the Browns' first team offense. He should be a better quarterback come Sunday than he is today. If he is, you know,
you're really going to compare Shadur to Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy led Iowa State to the Fiesta Bowl and was really, really good. And when he left Iowa State, they went 1-9 without him.
Okay. So, well, how's Colorado in the wake of Shadur and Travis Hunter taking off? They haven't won shit.
But what did Colorado win when they were there?
Well, they were good. I mean, here's the thing. They technically like as much as Iowa State, you know, like they, Colorado went from does so, not dude. Matter. Colorado went from does not matter at all to congratulations, you matter. Now, of course, there was some really, you know, mega hype machine behind that because of ESPN and the games that were scheduled. But I watched enough Shadur Sanders play at Colorado to go, he's not bad at all. He's pretty damn good. I bet you he's going to be a pro one day. Now, the whole debate about where he should have been, could have been, would have been drafted and how Cleveland went about doing it after they took Dylan Gabriel, it just added so much kerosene to the fire of the media moment with him. But I'm going to say, for a guy that has played one game in the NFL, to say definitively what he is ridiculous. I don't know what he is. The Browns don't even know what the fuck he is. So let's see. Hopefully you're right, Larry. Hopefully whatever he's going to be, he doesn't turn into it this weekend against the 49ers. But I don't know what he is. I do think he's a quarterback that Robert Saleh should be able to confuse.
And well, he's young. I mean, he's a raw quarterback. Yeah, that's for sure. You know, he did complete a super high percentage at Colorado, like 74%, like really, really high. But a lot of that was just underneath stuff. I mean, it's kind of like Kyler Murray. Is Kyler Murray the best quarterback in the league because he completed 73% one year? Well, no, nobody would take him number one.
Hey, let me tell you, the way Brock's throwing downfield right now, I wouldn't put too much on his plate beyond the underneath stuff either. Okay.
You're really going to compare Brock Purdy, who's led the 49ers to a Super Bowl, to Shadur Sanders?
No, but in this game, with what I just saw, with a turf toe injury, with bad weather never being really on Brock's side, with Myles Garrett breathing down his neck, I would get that ball out of Brock's hand really quick and work underneath all game long this week too.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no question he's going up against a really good defense. But I to say these guys are similar quarterbacks,
they're not similar quarterbacks. One obviously has much more proven already, but they both start from places of extreme doubt in their careers. They have that is what they do have in common. You know, they both played for Big 12 football teams. What's that matter in the NFL? I don't know. We'll find out what it translates into as a quarterback of a Big 12 team.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, Shadur last week against the Raiders, who are horrendous, completed 50% of his passes. He was 9 of 20 or whatever. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what he's got. I do think the 49ers have a good shot. I think, you know, I love the under. You know, in this game, I mean, I don't see the 49ers
based on that weather forecast. I would imagine if you like the under, you better get it now because that it's only going to keep going down, right?
All the talk about Shadur is misplaced, though. It's not about Shadur. It's about the running back. It's about the rookie running backs, Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson. Those are the two guys. If they can stop those guys, they're going to beat Cleveland. If they can't stop those guys, it is going to be a long, long day. So that's really it. You got a big power back in Judkins. He's 225 pounds. He runs 4.48. And Dylan Sampson is a really good athletic receiver out of the backfield. And, you know, if you dump it to him in the flat and you have busted plays like the Niners have had, then, yeah, he could take it the distance. So those two backs are key. Obviously, Jerry Jeudy is going to be another key factor as well. You know, he's interesting. He's, you know, you catch Jerry Jeudy on the right day and he looks like as good a receiver as there is in the league. You catch him on the wrong day and you're like, this guy stinks.
Did you see like the show pony kick thing that he did that turned him into easier to tackle from behind and got stripped? And it was just very weird play that he put out there in that game a couple of weeks ago. But anyways, yeah, he's a weird guy. He's just a, wide receivers are weird, Larry. I don't care who you play for, what team it is. Wide receivers are just a different breed. They really are.
Well, you know, and you know, right now we're in this mode where, man, anything can happen. I think yesterday was a good indication of that. The Packers beat the Lions in Detroit. Guess what? Detroit may not make the playoffs.
Isn't that something?
Dallas beat Kansas City in Dallas. Guess what? Kansas City is not going to make the playoffs. Not going to make the playoffs. And then the Bengals beat the Ravens, and Lamar looked like crap. And the Ravens, I don't think, are going to make the playoffs. So I, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you got three teams right there that if you had said a month ago, man, what do you think of the, you know, I'll give you the Lions, the Chiefs, and the Ravens, or you can have the field. Who are you going to take? I think most people would have taken the Lions, the Chiefs, and the Ravens. And here we are. It's just, it's November 28th. We still have all of December to play. And those three teams with their, you know, I mean, how, I don't know how you feel about it, but I mean, I think Dan Campbell's vastly overrated. I think the Chiefs are now, you know, their run has lasted long enough. Last year was an indication that they were, the rest of the league was catching up. This year it's official. They're 1-5 on the road. They're 500 as a team. They're 6-6. They ain't going anywhere.
Here's the thing. Their secret sauce was winning every close game that they are in. They don't win any close game that they've been in this season.
I wonder how long Andy Reid and John Harbaugh are going to still coach. I mean, these guys, it feels like the end of an era for Kansas City and Baltimore, does it not? It does. It seems like Baltimore doesn't have a good defense. We've been talking about Baltimore this, Baltimore that, and they're, you know, they've got a killer defense. They don't really have a killer defense. You know, I mean, they're a bully team. If they get up on you and they can just pound Derrick Henry all day, yeah, they're great. But man, if you get up on them, I mean, it was 12-7 Cincinnati at halftime.
Right. It felt like they were 10 miles back, right?
Yeah. I mean, their number one receiver, Zay Flowers, he caught 2 balls for 6 yards. DeAndre Hopkins was their leading receiver yesterday. 2 catches for 25 yards. I mean,
you know, I think
Jackson, I don't think, has thrown a touchdown, Damon, in like a month.
The Ravens are descending, and they might have smoke and mirrored their way through the last couple of seasons to show that this wasn't going to come. I'll say this about the Chiefs. Even great teams have bad seasons. I'm not going to declare them done or over until they start sputtering around and being unimpressive next year.
It does have that Seattle vibe, though, where, you know, they were on top, they were on top, they were on top. It was Russell, it was Russell, it was Russell. And then all of a sudden, it started to kind of, I mean, look at their team. Mahomes, been around forever. Right. Their number one running back is Kareem Hunt. He's old. Pacheco hasn't done anything for them. Rashee Rice is awesome. But Travis Kelce is their go-to receiver. He's old. Chris Jones is their big time, you know, defensive lineman. Hall of Famer, in my opinion. He's still awesome.
A stud. Still a stud.
He didn't have any sacks yesterday. Not one. So Kansas City was on top forever.
Here's the thing, though. There are some NFL truths that remain true no matter how bad the evidence to the contrary becomes. They got the right coach, they got the right defensive coordinator, and they sure as hell have the right quarterback. And when you have those three things, the turnaround that you need to be a good football team is never like a free agent or two, a draft pick or two away from being like, oh, we're back. So I'm not saying the Chiefs are done. But I do think they're done this year. They're not going to the postseason this year. So as far as 2025 is done, they're done. But
it's just a young man's sport.
It is.
And it's a young man's sport. And now Mahomes is 30. And he doesn't quite, I mean, he's fine, but the surrounding cast doesn't quite look the same. He's an incredible competitor. One of the greatest competitors of all time. But it just doesn't. It doesn't quite look the same, does it? I mean, it's definitely not their year. It's definitely not Baltimore's year. And I'll tell you, watching yesterday, I mean, if you'd said to me, Joe Burrow, you know, Joe Burrow's already had turf toe surgery and he's back. He's already had the surgery and he's back. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, it makes you wonder if the Niners handled the Purdy thing the right way. Now,
it's an injury, so odds are they needed this.
Purdy said, hey, look, the doctors never considered surgery. So maybe, you know, I'm always against having, you know, elective surgery.
Right.
You don't want to have surgery that you don't need. That's
although,
for sure.
You know, look, what have you thought of the Brandon Ayuk doubting 49er training table talk that's been circulating around that situation, and how the reason that Ayuk didn't show up in Santa Clara for his rehab wasn't because he was lazy or wasn't dedicated to getting better. He just didn't trust the 49ers medically.
Well, you know, sorry, bro. I mean, you know, you have to communicate these things. I don't believe that for a second. I don't think that's true at all. And I also don't think that he's ever stated anything to that. You know, I definitely don't think he communicated anything. So I think that's basically what happened there. You can do whatever you want. Nick Bosa, you know, not every guy who trains with the team's guys, but you have to say, this is who I'm training with, and this is how it's being done, and this is what we're going to do, and this is when it's going to get done. And, you know, and then the team's got to be like, oh, okay, because guess what? You're in a contractual situation with them. You're an asset of that team. So you can't just go off half-cocked and do whatever the hell you damn well please. You got to go with the program. And if you have a different program, that's okay. But you have to communicate that. And clearly it was never communicated. And so that's why look at it this way. If Brandon Ayuk were at all in the right, do you think he'd be walking away willingly for millions? Or do you think he'd be using the NFLPA as a means to get the rightful millions that he's owed? You know what I mean?
I'm all done guessing what's going on there, but
well, we know that. We know nobody walks away willingly for millions of dollars. So he walked away from willingly for millions of dollars because he's obviously in the wrong.
But I trust. Here's the thing. I don't know how much I trust Brandon. I want to end that sentence, so I won't even try. But I don't trust the 49ers when it comes to injuries. I don't trust the 49ers.
Why is that?
Because of how often they happen and how bad they are season after season after season after season. And I think that they completely...
But you're talking about different things here. You're talking about you don't trust the 49ers in how they rehabilitate their injuries. You don't trust the 49ers in their practice habits that lead to the injuries. I mean, what are we talking about? Because you're all over the map there. That's a wild all over the map statement, all encompassing. Are you saying that you don't trust Shanahan or you don't trust the doctors?
I think there's doubt. I think that there is an incredible... I thought the biggest mistake of this season was bringing Brock Purdy back in that Jacksonville game. I thought that they rushed him back. I thought that they rushed him back from injury, and you did too.
I don't think, but Damon, we don't know that. See, now, once again, we don't know that they rushed him back or if he rushed himself back in both in Jacksonville and, you know, now. We don't know. Because, I mean, do you really think that the Niners were like, you're ready to go now, go? Or do you think that he said, I'm ready to go now, I'm going? See, I think it's more likely that he said, I'm ready to go.
But then who are you listening to? Your quarterback to declare himself ready or go, or the original medical diagnosis that said this could be a 6-week injury?
You know, well, it also said it could be a 2-week injury.
And it's a variant. It's a variant.
But I mean, you have to listen to your quarterback on some level. Right. I mean, Brock Purdy's going to tell you, hey, you know what? It's a 2 to 6 week thing. I feel good. I'm ready to go. No. We're not letting you go. We know better than you. So I understand that.
I think like when you have Mac Jones playing that well, you sit down and you have a reasonable conversation with everybody in the room. It's not like you're talking to Brock and then you're going to go talk to him. You do it at the same time.
Yeah, but see, look, even that right there, what you just said, the way Mac Jones was playing, the Niners have been sprinting away from anything that relates Mac Jones's play to Brock Purdy's timeline. They're sprinting away from that. They're not like, oh, like if you threw that to Lynch, Shanahan, or anybody associated with the Niners, they'd be like, they'd quickly separate. Oh, you know, Mac's play and Brock's status are not one and the same. Brock's status, and when he's ready to go, he's going to go, irregardless of what Mac is doing over here, good or bad. That's their stance.
I'd say then you're doing it wrong. Then you're kind of doing it wrong because you have a luxury that most teams would kill for. you have a guy who's giving you equivalent to, or even if we, you know, I'm not trying to crap on Brock at all, but equivalent to, or even a little bit better than, with all these 300 yards, multiple touchdown games that I'm seeing from Mac Jones, where he's having completion percentages that Steve Young would blush at. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that from the standpoint of the people who try to make it seem like, then this is the Niners and all their yes men, of which there are many. It's unbelievable, by the way, how many sycophants and yes men sit there and suck up onto the power teat, hoping endlessly for, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what they're hoping for, but it's like, the Niners said it, we're gonna push that narrative no matter what. It's like, the Niners don't want to have a quarterback controversy, so they're never going to suggest that. They're always going to suggest that Mac Jones, no matter what he does, is a world apart from Brock Purdy. And that's not true.
That's not true. The thing. Like, here's the thing. I don't really care what the Niners messaging was hoping to accomplish. Let me tell you what we think about what's going on this show. And I don't care if the Niners hear it or that. I think that they screwed up their quarterback situation with that Jacksonville starter, Brock Purdy. But he wanted to play again. You know what? I want to be in the tax bracket I used to enjoy again. But it's not going to happen just by me snapping my fingers, Larry. You know, you got to come back. And when someone is doing a really good job and what you need is time, guess what? We now have that afforded to us. We don't need to rush you back. So you wanting to come back on this field, guess what? We got $50 million worth of paperwork on you that says, shit, sit down and do what we tell you to do.
Yeah, you know, that's not the way, you know, that sounds good. That's like a Rick Berry-ism. I'm going to tell all these guys, you shoot free throws the way you're not leaving the gym until you make 100 free, you know. It's like,
hey man, is a coach and the general manager in charge? Yes or no?
It sounds good, but it's like one of those things that it could never happen. But I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I mean,
Let me do this because I do know that we are a big part of everyone's work week, Larry. People like starting their Mondays and ending their Fridays with us. It's not a normal work week. It is a smaller audience than usual this Black Friday. So if everyone could just lean into that like button, everyone just tap that like button right now. It'll help YouTube push this one out. And we haven't said thank you, Larry, to those who've been taking care of us as sponsors here yet. So let's do that. Ike sandwiches are the best sandwiches you're going to find other than the Thanksgiving leftovers, which you're going to be out of in like a day or two. So you're going to need to remember that. Ike, sign up for the Love Rewards program, and hopefully there's an Ike near you. And where are you going to watch a little? Wait, we got a Black Friday game. We got Indiana Purdue tonight. We got a huge weekend of college football. You're going to need to be drinking your way through Warriors games now that Steph Curry's out for about a week to 10 days. Head to the Dubliner West portal. We thank them so very, very much. I know the both of us are a part of Sleeper. You can tell them all about that, Larry. And I'll tell you, too, I think Jillian and I are in, booked. We're coming to see you at Pig in a Pickle on December 7th up in Corte Madera. We're looking forward to it. Don't know what time we're going to be up there, but we are going to hit your window. What is that window again? When will you be?
Well, we'll be there all day. We'll be there all day. So they're open from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. and I'll be there all day. But I listed it as 12 to 6. But come anytime you want. It's an open house. We're just going to have some, you know, eat some barbecue and hang out and celebrate all the greatness of all the Krug Show listeners. And we've got plenty of prizes. I've got Kev ordered about $350 worth of Krug Show merchandise that we will be giving away to the people who show up. And we also have an autographed Ricky Pearsall mini helmet that we will give away to one lucky 49er fan and Krug Show fan. So check us out. We'll be in Corte Madera, not Emeryville, Corte Madera, December 7th. They're open from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. during the bye week. Stop by, say hello, watch some ball, hang out, eat some brisket, maybe you're just coming down by yourself and you want to bring the family back some barbecue for dinner, do that. We'd love to see you there. So thanks to everybody, and we appreciate all you guys. Krug Show, of course, brought to you by Pig in a Pickle. Two locations right now, a third on the way in Petaluma coming. And they're in Emeryville, they're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. So check them out. Great barbecue. Also, thanks to Sleeper. 49er football season is presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and, of course, Sleeper picks for fantasy. Use promo code Larry, L-A-R-R-Y, and Sleeper will match that first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. And also, today's stream is sponsored by my good friends at Factor, the ready-to-eat meal service that helps me stay on track with my fitness and wellness goals, even during the busiest football weeks. Here's the deal. Factor delivers fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals straight to your door. They're ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no cleanup, no stress. I've been using Factor to stay consistent with my routine. It's been awesome on long show days and when I don't have time to cook. There's some awesome ones too. The green chili pork is amazing. The smoky barbecue chicken is fantastic. It's all great. What I love most is how Factor makes clean eating easy and sustainable. You can pick from plans like Protein Plus, Calorie Smart, Keto, Vegan, Veggie, and there are over 180 rotating weekly options. So it's premium food for real, built for real life, fresh ingredients, no refined seed oils or artificial colors. So if you want to stay consistent, save time, and eat food that actually tastes great, head to factor75.com or click the link below. Use the code Larry. FB50, and you'll get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code Larry FB50 at factor75.com to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for a year. Thanks to Factor for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. All right, let's hit a couple thoughts here on what we're going to see as far as this Niners Browns game. What do you think as far as the Niners offensively, Damon? I mean, this is going to be terrible weather. You've got Brock Purdy in, who has struggled in the past with a wet ball. What happens if you get into this game and he cannot grip it and rip it? Because I asked him that question this week. I said, do you have any concerns that in those conditions that you might not be able to really grip it and rip it the way you want to? And he said, you know what? This is reality. These are the rough conditions. We know Brock has struggled in these wet conditions. If he struggles in the first half, does Shanahan consider going to Mac Jones if Purdy's having a hard time gripping the football?
Well, I mean, I'm about to say yes, and then you're about to say, well, Damon, that's not the way football works. Like,
no, I'm saying this is. Well, I'm not. I think the Niners have two quarterbacks that are real, real good that they can win with. I just don't really think that the people who think that I'm pushing back on the people who think that if there's a huge divide between the two quarterbacks and we can't really compare, and I'm like, I do think Brock's better, and I think his mobility makes him better, but I also know that if he continues to have diminishing arm strength, accuracy, and mobility, that Jones is better. So
right. Look, when when he threw three interceptions, I was ready to go to Mac Jones right now. Again, when you have the luxury of a backup quarterback who is just as good or is functioning just as well, like whatever way it needs to be said to not hurt Brock's feelings, say it that way. But the truth is, Brock Purdy's not that much better than Mac Jones. I certainly don't think he's $50 million better than Mac Jones.
And we all understand why.
I don't even want to get into that.
The Niners have to take that stance. Otherwise, Jed's next question is, why the hell did we paying this guy over $100 million of guaranteed, York family money if he's only marginally better than Jones?
There's everything is about circumstances. And everything is about timeline. Brock Purdy had reached the timeline in his career that says, you got to make a decision. And if we're going forward, that comes with a big price tag. And if we're not going forward, that comes with you having no real established answer at quarterback next year because I'm out. So the Niners did what they have to do. And by the way, let's say they never met Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy doesn't exist. He wasn't born. It's been Mac Jones this entire time, playing just kind of like this. He would get to that point in the fork in the road where you ready to pay this dude $50 million. And they would have had to make the call on that dude. The decision on Brock is not unique to Brock Purdy or the Niners at all. It is the second contract. That's what happens when you are a quarterback that established yourself, that went to a Super Bowl. You get rewarded with big money by the time you sign that second contract. So you decide, is this the guy to do it with? Yes or no? There are so many reasons to it have been yes about Brock that they did it. And they don't need to apologize for doing it. I think it was the smart decision to do. But the truth is, I've watched a lot of guys play quarterback for Shanahan that have done, you know, again, no matter what happens, no matter what the situation is or how well or bad the Niners play or how much they score that day, the Niners are always about 20-ish first downs in a football game, 275 yards of passing, 85 to 140 yards of rushing. How did it go that day? Might be the difference in did you win or lose. It's the same. Kyle cranks out the same game plan and the same offense against everyone week after week after week after week after week. It's basically the same production no matter who's in there. We both agreed this team's wide receivers suck. Doesn't apparently matter because they're leading the NFL in passing. So Kyle cranks offense out regardless of who's out there. He does.
Well, he's got Christian McCaffrey.
Yes, and that is
regardless of who's out there. Just because he's throwing it to Christian McCaffrey and not his slow receivers.
I'm going to tell you that they went to the Super Bowl before Christian McCaffrey was on the team, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying my point is that he couldn't do it with anybody. He's just doing it without big-time receivers. Because he's got a big time. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, I mean, this isn't the most amazing thing I think I've ever heard. It was so amazing. I asked McCaffrey about it this week. I'm like, Christian, you lead the NFL in yards rushing and receptions. Or I should say rushing attempts and receptions. So, I mean, they're going to him more than anybody's going to anybody.
He's the most used player in football. I mean, if value has anything to do with how much of the game plan is around you, he's the MVP running away. There's no one in this league other than quarterbacks who touch the ball on every play the way that he does.
He touches the ball a ton. So, and now here's the question in this game. We get Trent Williams, the best left tackle of his era, against Myles Garrett, one of the greatest defensive ends of any era. Are the Niners going to allow Trent to go one-on-one with Garrett? Can he, or do they still help Trent do something they typically never do, which is usually they say, Trent, you go one-on-one with your guy, we'll slide protection away. Are they going to do that against Garrett, or are they going to try to help out Trent?
I think you start by saying the Hall of Famer's got this, and then as the game goes along, he doesn't, then you change the game plan. You know, your halftime adjustment could be Juszczyk, you're in and you're chipping Miles no matter where he's going. I mean, I would line up Myles Garrett all over the field this week if I'm Schwartz. I'd want him in front of McKivitz all day. I know he doesn't really play that way. He doesn't move like that, but.
Well, no, he does. He does. They lined him up in the A gap two times last week, right over right over Brendel.
So then do it. I mean, yeah, they do.
They move him around. I mean, he rushes the majority of the time off the defensive right side.
Right.
But he does. They do move him around the formation, and you could see him in the A gap. You could. That's my fear, is that they're going to put him over Brendel, and Brendel's just going to get destroyed, and Purdy's going to get stuffed.
That is a concern going into this game. That the Browns have a defensive line that makes you go, oh, that's what that's supposed to look like. So this is going to be a fist fight for sure. You know, I got to tell you what I do hate. The thing that I hate the most, though, Larry, is the constant reevaluation of Brock Purdy. Even around the three interception game. Again, the fact that the Niners win a three interception game from Brock Purdy is just another, you know, how could we make this more difficult to interpret what's really going on here? What is really happening here with this guy, with this season, with this career, who you think he is? And I think you and I both checked the box of, we really like Brock Purdy an awful lot. And he might not be the most perfect quarterback to ever been born, but he's really perfect for what Shanahan wants to do and the way that this 49ers team operates. And he's now in it enough to get you out of the bad play and into the right play. We like his processing. We like the guy. We like the person who handles the press conference. You like the player that you see positively interacting with his teammates in the locker room when the cameras aren't rolling. We like him an awful lot. Here is the one thing that I do not like. And this is my official, here is, you're Brock Purdy concern. Here it is. A guy who's not exactly known for his supreme athletic stature or physicality to begin with now has turf toe. He has a nerve damage issue. He has a surgery to that elbow. So these are three major injuries in the four seasons in which he's played. The next injury, I'm worried about the next injury. Eventually, Brock Purdy is going to kind of start being damaged goods. And what, when you become damaged goods, will he start to lose? And if you're telling me a little bit more arm strength is the reason why those balls were fluttering and floating on him, now I'm getting concerned about Brock Purdy really being the guy that you can go forward with for several years, like a franchise quarterback.
Are you equally concerned about Joe Burrow?
Yes,
he's been hurt.
Here's the thing: Joe Burrow is an absolute freaking stud. Follow me. I know the way to victory level quarterback that Purdy will never be, but he is wildly damaged goods and banged up way too early in his career.
See, damaged goods to me is if you're Sam Bowie and you have stress reactions in your feet and you keep having them. That's damaged goods. Damaged goods is when you have a recurring injury, not when you have some freak injury. Like if Brock Purdy next year has turf toe again, then I'm with you.
Again,
but right now I'm not going to take. I mean, the Hassan Reddick one was just a freakish thing. I mean, that you can't call a guy injury prone because he got his elbow ligaments torn out in the midst of a throw. That was freakish. I mean, it rarely happens. I don't think Brock Purdy is injury prone. I really don't. I mean, he's played all the games for the most part until this year. Until this year, he played pretty much all the games. So he hasn't had he hasn't had recurring. It's not like it's like, oh, you know what? It's like a pitcher. Like, you know, the Giants have a certain, oh, you know, here comes the elbow problem again. Oh, here comes the shoulder problem again, or a wrist. Nine Giants had an outfielder named Jeffrey Leonard, and he would be awesome in April. And then all of a sudden, come May, he would have like wrist issues. And by the end of the year, he was kind of just hitting lazy fly balls to the opposite field. That guy had an issue with his wrist recurring. I don't know that there's any of these injuries that I'd be like, you know what? Brock Purdy's fragile. I don't think he's fragile.
I don't either.
He played all the time at Iowa State too.
But he's taken some damage, and it's.
What are his injuries? He's had turf toe. He's had the elbow.
He's had the nerve damage that came along with the URL surgery or whatever that was. So
he's had the elbow and the turf toe. But I mean, is there another one that I'm not thinking of? Is there another injury that I'm not.
No.
I'm not remembering.
No, it's so, Trey, I mean, it's Trey Lance broke his ankle.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like he's had a couple injuries. I mean, it's, you know, he stands in there. I don't really think it has anything. I mean, it's like these things are so odd to discuss. It's like, well, he's small. No, he's not small. That's ridiculous. He's bigger than you. I mean, he's 6'1". He's 6'1". He's 230. He's a pretty big dude.
If he were
an inch and a half taller, he's 6'3" and 230 pounds. But instead, he's 6'1", 230 pounds. I wouldn't necessarily call him small. Like, you know, a 5'10", 5'11" quarterback is small, or somebody who weighs nothing.
Right. Kyler Murray is small. Like,
Bryce Young is small. Bryce Young is small. I don't even know if Kyler Murray's really small because he's kind of thick. So I don't know. I don't really think of Brock Purdy's size as the issue. I don't. I don't think his size has anything to do with his injuries. Because you know, so he's literally the same height as Steve Young. He's literally the same height as Drew Brees. I mean, those guys are all basically the same height, and he's like an inch shorter or 2 inches shorter than, like, you know, somebody. So I don't. Would, if he were an inch and a half taller, would he be less? You know, no. I mean, so I don't think it has anything to do with his dimensions that he's been hurt. But I do think that when he is hurt, Damon, that we can't sit there and be like, you know, There's no difference. He's still their best quarterback. Why? Because you said so? There's a big difference between asserting something and proving something. Lots of people have asserted that Brock Purdy is their best option. But if he, even though he's hurt, even though he's diminished physically, then I would say, well, that's just, you're just parroting what the Niners want you to say, because the Niners fear this conversation, because they, because this conversation leads all the way back to why Jed firing these guys. It's like, why the hell am I, why'd you want me to pay this guy if he's really comparable to the guy who's making $7 million? So, you know, they can't afford to have an open-ended dialogue where, guess what? If these guys were in the same draft class, or if they hadn't extended Brock Purdy, then I think we would have a much more honest approach to the whole conversation.
Yeah,
think.
Yeah, absolutely, we would.
I mean, it's no different. If you have a Bentley and a Honda, and you're just talking up your Honda, oh, Krug, I love the Accord. Are you kidding me? The Accord this, the Accord that, the Accord this, the Accord that. And maybe your wife was like, I didn't want to buy the $200,000 Bentley. What do you think she's going to say if you're sitting there talking up endlessly your Honda Accord? She's like, you dumbass. Why do we spend 200 grand on this Bentley if you love the Honda Accord so much? And that's the same damn thing that Jed's going to say to Lynch and to Shanahan if they talk up Mac Jones. So,
well, but here's the thing. Here's what I would say is, you guys have already done that. You went through that with Jimmy Garoppolo. Then you went through that with Trey Lance. Why would we just invest all this draft capital in this guy if you tell me that the last pick in the draft is better than him? Well, these are hard times, call for hard conversations. And Jed, you know, there's a lot of prospecting in them near hills to find the gold, but you never really know where the gold's going to come from. And it didn't come from the massive well that we dug and bought. It came from the little rock pile over here that we found at the end of the damn trail.
Nobody wants to admit the truth, which is that NFL people, even though they're the masters of the universe when it comes to football, they know what a great franchise quarterback looks like, but they don't know it until they see it actually in an NFL game.
Here's the thing. Let me tell you what NFL GMs know. They don't know shit. You don't know shit. You don't, until this league tells you this player can play, your assumption doesn't mean jack. The NFL, well,
some of them know. I mean, some of them do.
Who's good and good, not good at this? Nobody bets a thousand. Nobody
bets a thousand. But like, I mean, you telling me that Bill Polian didn't know that
that
Peyton Manning was better than Ryan Leaf?
There are definitely some people who know, which just by looking at that apple, it's more ripe than that one. There are some people who are,
or just some prospects are cleaner. I mean, Peyton Manning was a cleaner prospect at coming out of Tennessee than Ryan Leaf was coming out of Washington State. And it worked out that way. But they went 1-2. You know, I mean, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota went 1-2 in a draft once upon a time. And how's that going? So it's a lot of guesswork. But nobody wants to admit their guesswork, because why am I paying my general manager millions and my head coach even more millions if it's just guesswork?
So the car analogy. It's a good one, but it's a false equivalency, though, because the reason why Brock got paid is not because he's all-world awesome quarterback, everything. It was the timing. The timing of where the 49ers are as a competitive franchise. The timing of where this guy fits into our offense. The timing of, well, we have opened up money to make the significant purchase over here, because now this position of quarterback comes with significant purchase price. Do you want to start over again? Do you want to go all the way back to your driveway? You are halfway to the destination in this car, in this vehicle. Do you want to start your journey again? The only benefit of starting your journey again is that it comes with an infinitesimal price as to where we're starting this, where we're continuing the journey with this guy. They decided we want to continue the journey with Brock, and I believe the instincts that brought them to that decision were correct. I am not anti-Brock in any way, shape, or form, but I am now a little more worried about where it all goes and lays down based on just nicks and dings on the car that I really do like. I like Brock, but I think he's got some nicks and dings. And that 3-interception game and his penchant for interceptions over the last few the season or two. It needs to start getting better. It really does.
No doubt.
So
did you see the Chase Senior numbers that he put out?
I have not.
It was like 19 games. The last 19 games, Purdy's thrown 19 picks.
Yeah, we got to improve upon that shit immediately. And I don't care if his name is Brock Purdy. I don't care if his name is Shedeur Sanders. I don't care if his name is Joe Montana. That's not – you can't keep doing that. No. So
you can't turn it over in mass. The question, I guess, is this, though.
Honestly,
Kyle Shanahan has said it a few times.
I feel a lot better about the 3.5 interceptions than 19 over 19 games. You know what I mean? That's just a bad night of football. Everyone's allowed a bad night. Everyone has an off night. Everybody has on this night, it wasn't all working for me, and I was bad tonight. And that's just a one game. You were right. You were bad. And, oh, my God, they still won that game. So how mad can anyone be?
I mean, you got to evaluate the whole thing. I mean, my whole thing is a pick is not a pick. You know, I could throw an absolute dime in a perfect window, and you could tip it into the air, and it could get picked off. Is that on you, the quarterback? Yeah, it's your stats, but it's really not on you. It's on the receiver. It was a perfect pass that the receiver tipped up into the air. Right. So not every interception is literally the same. They all have to be evaluated.
I think it's Aaron Nagler who wants to see the NFL incorporate the stat. He does a lot of Green Bay Packers coverage. Larry, he's the guy that you and I had a burger with at the end of Bourbon Street when we were all in the Super Bowl. Remember when we were all hanging out together? He's got a stat that he wants the NFL to incorporate that says IOW, interception on wideout.
Yeah, I mean, only thing is like, what about the interception on the offensive line? What about the interception on the tight end? But I understand you. But here's the thing. Those interceptions are obviously bad, but are they all? They're not all the same.
Not all interceptions are created equal.
Sometimes you didn't see the defender. That's on you. But sometimes the receiver tipped it into the air, and that's on him. So these things all have to be evaluated. Brock's thrown too many interceptions, but it's to me the problem is not, as far as you said, it is what's worse, the 19 or the 3. It's not even about the numbers. It's about what it looks like. In this last game, Brock Purdy didn't have anything on those passes. He broke all three of the rules that you can't break as a quarterback. He was late, over the middle, with nothing on it. You can be late, but you can't be late over the middle. You can't be late over the middle with nothing on it. When you're late, you got a chance to throw picks. When you throw over the middle, you got a chance to throw picks. When there's nothing on the ball, there's a chance to throw picks. When you put them all together, late over the middle with nothing on it, your chances of throwing picks go way, way, way up. And so that's what he did. He was late over the middle with not a lot on it. And the one that he had on the dead run, that was another example of the turf toe, because he was on the dead run. He would have kept running, but now he's running. He's realizing I'm not running as fast. So now it's like, oh, I'm running, but I've got a receiver open. And what he should have done was come to a jump stop, plant his feet and throw a laser. But instead he just threw it while he was running, and he released it high with not a whole lot on it. And so, you know, that's it. I mean, that's it right there. And so, can Brock Purdy throw it harder than he did on those three interceptions? Yeah, but he might be a little rusty. He's claiming it's not the toe. Shanahan's claiming it's not the toe. All right. I mean, the conclusions are one of two things. You're bad because you're bad, or you're bad because you're hurt. Which one do you want? Do you want to be bad because you're bad, or bad because you're hurt? But either way, three picks is bad, and there's no bad about that.
Okay, so let me play off that just a little bit, because coming out of that post-game press conference, and look, I am all about let's not make excuses, and I sure do know our chat, the name of the chat room might as well be don't make excuses. No excuses.
This guy wants to debate whether Purdy's 230 pounds. He's 227. He's 230. Yeah, he's 230 pounds. Stand next to him.
Here's what I do know. And no one wants to hear excuses, but what I don't want to hear is that, yeah, these three interceptions had nothing to do with the toe. Oh, really? Because if they don't, we got a problem. Three interceptions have nothing to do with that toe, then we got a problem, and you paying Brock Purdy that amount of money was not the right idea, and it's time to go to Mac Jones, because Mac Jones doesn't throw bullshit lollipops over the middle. I haven't seen one yet. How about that? I'm not saying he never has. I'm not saying he's a perfect quarterback, but I haven't seen bullshit lollipops get sucked on.
I know. So, do they not realize, Damon, that the only conclusion, if you say it's not the toe, is that you suck? I mean, stop telling us, Brock, that it's not the toe. Stop telling us, Kyle, that it's not the toe. Stop telling us that the toe is not a non-factor.
Here's the thing.
If the toe's a non-factor, then this guy's bad play. Yeah, of course. We all want it. Heck, you should be arguing that it is the toe. The bottom line on this is that Brock Purdy, you know, I don't think it's accidental that Brock Purdy saw that Mac Jones completed 85% of his passes and was looking good, and that people were like, he's the guy. And he's like, fuck this. Hell, if this is going down on my watch, I'm not going to lose my job sitting on the sidelines just because I'm not 100%. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to play less than 100%. So it's all admirable. It's fine until you can't play well. And then the question I wanted to ask Brock this week, and I lost my nerve, was, Brock, if you got into another game and you're throwing three interceptions like that, would you take yourself out of the game because it's not the standard that you've established for yourself, or do you let Shanahan make that move? And I'd love to hear what he has to say about that, because he's a very honest guy, Damon. Like, if you ask him an honest question, he typically will give you his honest answer. So I'd love to hear that answer. And I think he's probably going to say I would, but I don't think he would.
It can't. No, if he does say that, he's the wrong guy for the job. Here's the, I don't want you to,
but
have
if you're hurt,
other than supreme confidence in yourself, it is a lot easier to have to reel in a quarterback who believes in himself at all times than get a guy to really invest in being a great football player. You know,
but we're not talking about it. We're talking about injury. Can you at some point you have to say, I mean, it's not, come on, we're not talking specifically about Brock now. We're just talking about quarterbacks. At some point, the quarterback has to say, I can go or I can't go. Right. And I'm not going to sit there and say that any quarterback that ever says in any game that he can't go is a pussy. I can't say that. I won't say that. I don't believe that. There's got to be levels of this stuff. There's got to be something where you go out there and you go, I can't move, I can't throw, I can't run. You know, there's got to be something, right? Right?
He got hurt early in his career, right? But the minute Anthony Richardson tapped out of that game last season in Indianapolis, in their mind, they were looking for Daniel Jones. And the minute he asked out of that series because he was tired, coach, it was over.
I mean, Anthony Richardson, you're talking about.
Anthony Richardson, yes, excuse me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but that was like he didn't feel right. This would be like examples of you're not playing well. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you're not playing well, do you take yourself out? If you're hurting your team, do you? Or do you allow? Because it's tough for the head coach to be right. Like, I'm pulling my quarterback, because then it's like this whole.
See, but I don't think it.
All the ramifications go along with it.
Here's the deal. So, Kyle, this is, I guess, the burden that comes with trying to wear two crowns, right? You're not just the coach. You're the GM, too. So you're telling on yourself. You know, you're
right.
You're right. That's the difficult part of this. And to me, a coach has no responsibility to any loyalty, love loss, or anything like that. The job is win the game. If your entire team hates you after a game you won, you take that other than this locker room loves me, but we lost today. This is the NFL, dude. I'm not here for anyone's feelings or how you felt about that. There's going to be a quarterback controversy when there aren't quarterback controversies, no matter what. So if one really happens, that's the price of poker, man. This is high stakes football. And I need the guy who's going to play well for me now, today. This is it. And, you know, somebody said earlier in the thing, well, you know, for Brock, it wasn't a problem. It was just rust. No. He worked that rust off in that Arizona game. And then he was markedly less than what he was in that Arizona game.
He's the following week. I'm tired of this garbage. I'm at practice every day, and I'm literally telling you guys what I see, and literally what I told you I saw is exactly what you guys saw.
We saw
exactly what you saw. I'm sick of it. Going into the Jacksonville game, I told everybody I'm watching this guy at practice, and I hate to say this. I'm not one of these. I'm the best and everybody else sucks. But not one person that week reported, not one, that he was high with his passes, that every pass that he was throwing was high, that he was releasing it high. Not one person said it at all. I told everybody, this guy's high with his passes. He gets into that Jacksonville game. He was high with the passes. What does he look like now? He's a slightly more accurate than he was back then because he's gotten used to throwing with just the arm. But Damon, he's not planting the right foot, and you can see it. And so he's not getting a lot on these passes. So have you noticed that it wasn't the 5-yard pass, the 7-yard pass, the 11-yard pass, the 15-yard pass? No, those passes are all fine. It's the 20-yard pass, the 25-yard pass. That's the ball that's just medicine balls, just hanging in the air. We've seen four or five examples of this. And here's the other thing. Stop telling us. I hate the people who do this. It's like, oh, this drives me nuts. The guy threw three picks. And then the idiots out there will be like, hey, man, you're making a big deal out of three passes. No. You're an idiot that didn't watch the game, and you know you can't defend interceptions, so you're grudgingly giving us that the interceptions aren't good. But the reality is, if you watch the game, that wasn't three bad passes. That was six or seven bad passes. He easily could have thrown five or six interceptions. Yeah. That fact. That is absolutely a fact.
Yeah.
So don't tell me, don't gaslight me with this side story of, well, you know, it's only three passes. No. You're an idiot. You have no idea what you're watching. Well, you know that three interceptions are bad. So you're sitting there. Somebody actually looked up how many interceptions all these other guys had. Like, it matters. It does not matter how many interceptions anybody had. It doesn't matter. All that matters is, why is he throwing them? Are there more coming? If it was an isolated instance and there was no more coming, it's no big deal. Yeah, here we go. this guy's goading me. Pretty good 80. It's only six passes, Larry. Get over it. Yes, it's six passes. It wasn't three passes. It was more like six or seven passes. The point is,
if I were talking about
passes and minimizing it, stop trying to minimize this like this is just a bad day. This is not just a bad day. This is a quarterback with turf toe playing hurt, playing poorly while he's hurt. And everybody else who wants to sit there and just be like, it's just three bad passes and you're making a big deal of it. No, you have no idea what you're watching.
Oh, hey, Jack.
Mommy's asking, when are you going to be done?
Come here. If you're gonna say it, say it.
I want to hear the reasoning there. Because
you come say it with your chest, son. What's the deal? Why do you need me upstairs?
You said you would make pancakes.
That's why you need me upstairs. It's not because you love me. It's not because you miss me. It's because I'm the maker of pancakes.
And also, you said you would.
I did say.
promises.
The promises were made, Larry.
Daddy will be there in 10 minutes because we're gonna run this down right now.
You would be up a little earlier.
I know that didn't happen. So let me just ask you real quick. Are you worried about Brock Purdy? Would you go with Brock Purdy or Mac Jones in Cleveland?
I don't know. No,
that's exactly what Shanahan said when he was given that. He's like, I don't know.
Tell mommy 5 minutes. Larry, this is the last thing I've got to say. And as you can see, the gravity of the pancakes is going to bring me upstairs.
Wait. Daddy got busted.
Absolutely.
Daddy got busted. That is awesome, dude.
Kurt Warner had a very interesting tweet this week. He says, I've talked a lot about my interceptions, and I feel like Brock Purdy plays a lot like me. He's mostly really good and makes a lot of big-time throws. It seems like every miss, which is usually a couple a game, which is actually very good, he says, is an interception. The D rarely seems to drop any of the bad balls. In other words, it's like going back to the you know, one of Brock's single best traits is he throws that catchable ball. Steve Young always talks about, does he forget about arm strength? Do you throw a catchable ball?
Yeah.
Maybe because Brock throws such a catchable ball, he's making it easier to catch interceptions. I'll even grant him that. What I cannot have is Kyle Shanahan ever come to a podium again. If I'm Kyle's agent, I'm calling him this week, Larry, and I'm going, Kyle, don't ever use the sentence, he wishes he could have those three throws back. No, you can't say that. It's not like a mulligan. Yeah, I wish I could have that one back. You can't say, yeah, he wishes he could have those three back. No. Okay. Yeah. I can, let's quickly hop into the
super. Okay, so we should tell everybody that the super portion of the show is brought to you by our good friends at Habas Law. They will fight to make it right. They're a great sponsor of the Krug Show, and there they are, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Thanks to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. Right now, you know, hunger is hitting our community hard. Families are trying to hold it together. Veterans are quietly struggling. Teachers who care for kids and at the school, holidays begin. Thousands of children will lose one meal they can count on. So join Habas Law team in the fight against hunger with Loaves and Fishes. Loaves and Fishes is a lifeline serving hot, dignified meals. No judgment, no barriers. Join Omar, Tarek, and the Habas Law team. Visit loavesfishes.org. Habas Law, fighting to end hunger, fighting to make it right. Once again, visit Loaves Fishes, LOAVESFISHES, loavesfishes.org. And they're a fantastic organization that was founded back in 1980. They've served free meals throughout Northern California.
All right, Larry, I got to go serve a meal. Let's go.
All right. They do great stuff. Anyway, thanks to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. All right, here we go. We're going speed brick right speed here. Brick. Here we go. Wide receiver Jeremy Bernard from Alabama would be a great pick. I agree. Jeremy Bernard would be a great Niner. Round two, most
likely. Elijah Surratt back for the Hoosiers tonight. That guy's going to be an NFL player, too. His nickname is Waffle House. He's always open.
Will the Hoosiers crush Purdue, or will it be close?
No, this is a 50-point whipping.
Wow. All right. Good to know. Michael says Raiders didn't blitz Shadur last week, only sending 3 or 4 man pressures every snap. Make him make quick decisions, send the blitz. This isn't Stafford. I think that's smart. I think that's very smart. We got this one from Ernberg. If we go into 2026 with slow wide receivers, I'm going to lose it. Yeah, I am too. I mean, seriously.
I don't think Kyle should be allowed to make the choice. He doesn't know what he wants.
Kyle, the GM, maybe Kyle, the head coach, is undoing. They definitely need to hit at a higher rate. Whether Lynch is making the picks, Kyle's making the picks, whether the scouts are making the picks, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't even need you to tell me who's doing what. It just has to get better. It has to get better.
This past draft, two drafts ago, he hand-selected Ricky Pearsall, major question mark. Yeah. This last draft, he hand-selected a rookie, looked pretty decent coming out of Ole Miss, wide receiver, and then Jordan James up from Oregon, and these two guys can't even hit the field. Like, hand-selected draft picks can't even qualify to get dressed to play in the game. So, Kyle, don't tell me you know what you need or you're good at it anymore. You're not.
I believe in Watkins and don't believe he's gotten the opportunity and think that when he does, he's going to be really good. The Jordan James, I don't get it. I don't get that one. Leaked Scorpion, disagree. We have decent wide receivers. Just Kyle's schemes, only Pearsall, Kittle, JJ, while now Kendrick Robinson and Tonjes get only 10% total snaps per game. Really? I mean, for a guy, so basically Kyle's scheming Pearsall open, that's good to know. He's been really good the last couple weeks. He's so good. Tommy Huxley, fun fact, the only Niner kicker to miss a field goal, Jake Moody.
That is pretty amazing, right?
Damon, here's the most amazing stat of the week. Here's the most amazing stat. Which defense between the Niners and the Browns allows more points per game? The Niners defense allows fewer points per game than the Browns defense. How about that? Does that shock you?
Yes.
Yeah, it shocked me too. Shocked me. When I heard that, I thought, oh my God. PWS, who's better in y'all's opinion, Gabriel or Sanders? Sanders. Gabriel is small. Gabriel's a check down merchant. Sanders has more talent for sure. I don't know if you want to weigh in on that, but I don't. Dylan Gabriel.
I'm not making declarative statements on anyone who's, you know, stepped into three football games, or in Sanders' case, one. To make a declarative statement about a single rookie who's played a minute of football is ridiculous. What are we doing?
I hear you. Dylan Gabriel has played the last like 15 years in college, though.
He is 33 years.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Winkie's like, hey, I get that guy. Chris Joseph Ernberg says 49ers will beat the Rams in the NFC Championship game and beat the Pats in the Super Bowl.
Sweet.
Somebody check on Ernberg.
What kind of mushrooms did he put in that stuffing last night?
My God, what is that's not the Ernberg that I know and love. All right, Purdy good 80, regardless, never irregardless.
Irregardless is not a word, correct.
Who used irregardless?
You did.
I did? I thought I said regardless.
I would never.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my bad.
Irregardless, Larry, let's move along.
All right, irregardless. Thank you, Warriors. Bill Kennedy, I don't think Brock will finish the game. Thoughts?
Hey, I really hope he does. I mean, here's the thing. I'm rooting for him, man. I want him to play great. I want him to dispel the can't play in weather, throwing floaty balls. Go play great, Brock. Go play great. I heard, listen to this, Brock.
I think Brock finishes the game and plays well.
You're not going to believe this, Brock, but your defense actually allows fewer points per game than the Cleveland Browns. Go with that.
Bill Kennedy, Lombardi won't answer five chats he doesn't agree with.
Or super chats.
Whatever. To each their own.
Talk to Dave.
Give him a call. Bill Kennedy, Lombardi equals zero football knowledge if you disagree with me. You know what?
Here's the thing. I'm not like people who bash Dave either, because
I don't want to bash anybody personally. I mean, I'm reading the supers because they're supers.
Dave puts always treated me well. Very interesting information into the mix. He has a great stats nose for stats. His interpretation
First of all, a lot of you guys don't know the guy. I do know the guy. He's a good guy.
Everyone likes Dave.
He's a good guy. I don't know if everybody likes Dave, but he's a good guy. Mr. Mongreen Eggcorn, LK, I need a post-Thanksgiving. Bye-bye, clown man. Bye-bye.
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 Larry, I got to go. Bye-bye. Are we done? Oh, I got to go. Bye-bye. Bye.
Come on Friday. Purdy throws two tightest windows. PST, 2.5 seasons. Look at the stats. He doesn't have a Pickens, Chase, Rice, Jefferson, others. Those guys create windows. I agree. He needs better receivers. Couple last ones. Fuji says, Larry, SI versus SH tomorrow. Still at San Jose City College. Okay. Fuji says, Larry, yesterday was the SI Bob Drucker alumni game. I love Bob Drucker. He was a great friend. Great man, great coach, terrific family. That's going to do it for us. 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Habas Law. Hit like and subscribe on your way out the door. Happy day after Thanksgiving. Enjoy your leftovers. Damon, love you, bro. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks to all of you. Have a great one. That Jack is cute. He is cute.